Well, we've already been introduced to the fact that the next couple of months we're having a mission focus. Yes, May is normally just the Baptists, but we, beyond that, and a couple of folk who we support or encourage and who encourage us when they visit are not available till June. So we're sort of spreading things out. Now, as you came in, you received this morning one of these. There are four little ideas, I suppose, in the series that Australian Baptist Mission have put out. There's renewing, relating, restoring, responding. And what we're going to do is spread over the 2 months, give out one of these, and in it is all that they put out. So in this one that we're going to be doing today is renewing. It includes the prayer that Dion shared with us. There's a little thing for notes. There's also questions for home group, or if you're not in a home group, questions that you take and think about. In each one there's a little testimony. So the idea is that you take this. It's more elaborate than I normally do, which is great. So you've got a whole heap of stuff to look at and just, I guess, be introduced a little bit more to the whole ABMS stuff. Now, today we're doing renewing, and those of you who think about it and read about it would be aware, if you've had a chance to have a quick look, some of you have been on looking at ABMS already, the big focus is on the Holy Spirit. That's what they're focusing on today, because what they're saying is we need to be renewed in order to be renewers of anyone else. And as we're reminded on the video, we live in a broken world. We don't really need to be reminded of that. We're well aware of it. And in Galatians, which is the reading in here on the Holy Spirit, it's a reminder that we need to be renewed daily by the Spirit of the living God. So that's our introduction. And today we're going to do something which I think, maybe is a little bit different. Renewed us, point one, by the power or dependence on the Holy Spirit. That's the first little bit there. Renewing through dependence on the Spirit. These are little studies for us to do at home. Renewing by cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And the third point is renewing through community of the Spirit, that's us. All right, so the focus, Holy Spirit, in case you missed that point. Holy Spirit is our focus. Friends, I've always been really upset in churches, and even this week looking through to renew my mind, people talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There are nine different fruits, yes. But let me say that the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost for what? Mission! The Holy Spirit was given for mission. The Holy Spirit was given to the people who were there to throw them into the world and to share the message of Jesus with the world. The Holy Spirit was not given for us to grab hold of and keep. The Holy Spirit was given to transform us, wow, and to send us. Otherwise, why would the Holy Spirit have come? Just sort of for us to keep in a bottle. No, the Holy Spirit came to send the believers out, to empower the believers. And friends, here I've got, as I said, nine fruit. That's the fruit from our fruit bowl, but it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And let me say, we don't just get one bit of fruit. We don't just get a banana. or we don't just get an apple, we get the fruit salad fruit for all of us. So we are all meant to be being changed to be like Jesus. So it might be true that someone is more loving, or it might be true that someone is more a mandarin, but yes, we get the whole lot. And in a minute, we're going to have a look at those bits and pieces more closely. But friends, the fruit is for each of us. We should be producing the fruit of the Spirit of the living God. People have different gifts from the Holy Spirit for us. So someone can preach, someone can help, someone can do the coffee. People can do different things. Last week, Dion read from Romans chapter 12. And there was one little verse there that said, have an honest estimate of yourself. That's not easy, to have an honest estimate of yourself. You know, other people can say things about you, but you need an honest estimate of yourself. So if you're a person who is lacking in something, you need to work on that. We need to work on areas of our life. Some are more gruff and some are more miserable and some are more this and that. But friends, we all want to be like Jesus so that we can share Jesus with other people. That's the whole idea of being a Christian, not holding things to ourselves. Now, we've got something else, or I've got something else, or Kelly and I've got something else. Now, obviously, if something needs to be mended, it needs to be initially damaged. So, needs to be mended. And what we're going to talk about now are the different aspects that make up the fruit salad fruit. And for us to just think, myself included, of course, for us to think, is there an area in my life that requires just a little more attention than other areas in order that I can show Jesus to people? Is there something that I need to mend in a situation? Right, so those of you who've got your Bibles might like to turn to Galatians 5, because we're just going to go through initially the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to look at that. The first challenge for us, we dropped a goodness, have we? The first is the whole area of love. Please let's get away from the whole idea that love is just marshmallow and soft and everything's acceptable and everything's wonderful. It is not. It is not. And God just doesn't say, oh, don't worry, don't worry. No. For God so loved the world, he gave his son in order that the challenge of love might be met. It is not merely a song, as Ben has reminded us. It is not a saying. Jesus is God's love gift. So let's understand what love really is for a Christian. Thank you, David.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
That's what love is, according to God. So, friends, that wasn't written for a wedding. I know a lot of people use it as a wedding, but it was not written for a wedding. It was written to the church at Corinth to say, some of you are jumping around and saying, oh, I've got spiritual gifts and I do this and I talk in tongues and I do this. And Paul says, stop. Stop. How are you loving everyone else in the congregation? How are you getting on? So cut out all of the show. What's really going on? And again, Ben didn't know, but in that song, let's get to the heart of what we're on about. We used to have a sign over there, but it kept falling down, unfortunately, that said, worship 24/7. Worship 24/7. And in a way, this is what Paul is saying. Don't talk about love. This is the reality of love. So friends, what he's saying to us is, if we're serious about mending and ministering, is there anyone in our congregation or maybe in our family circle or friendship circle that we need to rectify a situation? Is there someone who would say, they are really an unloving person? Do we need to have an honest estimate of ourselves in working that through? But the greatest of all is love. So let's put that there and let's make that a check. The second is joy. Right, the second is joy. And one of the illustrations is the people on the Emmaus Road. There was a joy after Jesus left them. Oh, how interesting, they say. A joy was there. Now again, this isn't based on circumstance, but the Bible says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. So I guess what we're saying here is, when people see us, is there a joy within us? Like an inner celebration, independent again of circumstance, because we all face circumstances that are miserable. Today our power's gone off, so that's great. We don't know why. Toaster doesn't work. But, I mean, that's nothing, is it? That's nothing. That's a circumstance. Friends, what goes on inside of us, in the presence of God? So are we in the presence of God and are we aware of being in the presence of God? So is there a joy? Is that aspect of the fruit of God's Spirit part of us? A joy. Now again, I don't mean jumping around, hi, I'm joyful. No, within us there's a joy and an assurance of who we are. What about peace? The third thing. Peace, the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Some of these things are what we need. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers. So part of the fruit of God's Spirit for us in bringing Jesus to the world is that we are peacemakers. We're not troublemakers. We bring peace. Now, I know that's not always easy because some of you would say, oh, Colin, I'm the ham in the sandwich, you know. Children here, parents old, parents there, and I'm stuck. Yes, that can be the case. But nonetheless, blessed are the peacemakers, or blessed are the peacemakers. And that's something that in a troubled world we need to bring. We need to be peacemakers. What about patience? How patient has God been with you? How patient has God been with me? How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Seven? That was the perfect number. No, said Jesus. What about 70 times seven? You don't know my brother. You don't know my relatives. You don't know my neighbour. Just on the news coming over, some neighbour, because her neighbour had put up a brick wall that was too high or something, she had hit the neighbour or was going to hit the neighbour with a piece of PVC piping. And I know, some of those troubles. Neighbourhood difficulties, relative difficulties. How patient can we be? Well, it's good sometimes to just reflect, isn't it, on how patient God has been with us. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't say, last week you committed that sin, so that's it. God is so patient. When we come back, yes, I forgive you again. Yes, I forgive. In fact, I don't forgive you again because I don't even remember what the last one was, because I've forgiven it. So friends, how good it would be if we were patient with other people, but also patient in prayer, because sometimes God doesn't answer prayers straight off and not exactly the way we want him to. So we need to be continually patient and praying. How are we going in repairing? We've got some repairs done. Good, but we've still got a bit more to go. Right. So we've dealt with love and joy and peace and patience. What about kindness? I think it's interesting that we have to have a kindness day. We have to have a kindness day. Why can't people just be kind? Can't we be kind anymore? We've got to have a day that's designated kindness day. So friends, surely we can be kind because of the kindness that God has shown to us. It's an interesting word, isn't it, kindness? Just looking out for other people. That old story is told of Mephibosheth, treated as a son in the Bible. How beautiful, lovely Old Testament story. And how kind we can be to people who not necessarily kind to us. I think Steve-O couldn't really believe how nice we were to him, allowing him to be on the veranda. And really that didn't cost us anything. Maybe it did in power, but it didn't cost us much else. But kindness towards each other or to people. We don't know what people are carrying in their lives. And sometimes when you start to scratch the surface, you find, oh, hello. We understand only a little bit from our association with Indigenous or First Nation or Aboriginal folk in Alice, that they are suffering from years and years and years of grief. Years of grief. There's always someone dying. There's someone being killed. There's someone in jail. They're not really in Alice Springs from the country they come from. They've come there for medical treatment. And friends, we've all got people in our lives like that. Kindness. It doesn't cost us anything. And yet it might be the link that brings someone to Jesus. And that's what we're on about. Mending situations, looking for situations that have an effect. Goodness. Goodness. J.I. Packer, a Christian writer, has said, goodness is the panorama that opens up the operation for divine goodness, transforming human lives. The goodness of God. We sing that song, "You Are a Good, Good God." I don't particularly, when we started, I thought, "You're a good, good God." But then, last week or the week before, we were reminded of the man who came up to Jesus and said, "Good teacher. Good teacher, why do you call me good? None is good but God. God is good." So friends, the goodness that we show through. And then what about faithfulness? Are you a faithful person? Am I a faithful person? Faithful God. Are we faithful to God? Husbands and wives, faithfulness. Friends. Now, people used to be able to handshake at one stage and that was it. No more. Now we have premarital agreements, all sorts of stuff that undermine trustworthiness and undermine faithfulness. I can't trust you anymore in that sense. How sad that is. So friends, God asks us to be known as faithful people if we are going to mend a broken, broken world. Are you a gentle person? Am I a gentle person? Or am I an abrasive or brash person? How sad it was to hear during the week that 1 in 3 children in Australia have either experienced or live with domestic violence. 1 in 3 children. You think, oh dear, how sad, how sad, how sad. Gentleness. That's harsh, isn't it? When you think of kids coping with something like that. Some of the stuff, if you've been to one of the training sessions that Carl Collins has run on child protection, you'll realise some of the stories that he has told are working in the police as he did. But friends, gentle. How wonderful that we can be gentle and, as it were, accepting of people. And then the last one that we've got in this list anyhow, I mean we could take more from other places, is self-control. Self-control. I find that amazing, really, that there are so many people who seem to be out of control. We only have to look at the news or see the news, hear the news, and you've got people driving their car down the wrong side of the road. You hear people being tested for alcohol and they're right over the top. So friends, is there an addiction or is there a lack of self-control in some areas? Alcohol, gaming, those sorts of things. It has been said that self-control is the power over yourself in all areas of life. So, do our friends see us as people who, we're not boring, but we're people who have a self-control. We're not going to be ridiculously over the top on any certain thing. Now, when we put this together in a bunch of fruit, we should be, as it were, people who have a relaxation in God, people who have a comfort with ourselves, people who have a trust in the living God, and at the same time, people who have a concern that is expressed to people in the world. So friends, yep, an old shirt. Well, it wasn't so old, but it's old now. Back to the op shop. But these things, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in each of us, showing to the world that we belong to Jesus. But more than that, asking Jesus to help us to bring other people to him. So we need to just do a quick check and make sure, are any of these a bit of a glitch in me? If we're having an honest estimate of ourselves, as Romans says, do I fit in with those? Am I mending in those situations so the people can see the growth of Jesus? Let's pray together and then we're going to share communion. Our Father, it's really very easy to read these points and to list them down, 9 points that we need to be up to date with. But it's a much harder issue for us to just be open to you day by day, in order that by your Spirit you might transform us. So for each one of us, myself included, Father, we pray that your Spirit might touch us, renew us, transform us, in order that we might be like Jesus. For our heart's desire is that as we are made like him, other people will come to know him. We realise that we are not meant to be isolated or by ourselves. But Father, the part of your work as well is to transform each one of us into the likeness of the living Christ. Help us to be open to that, we pray, through Jesus. Amen.